You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Roy and his wife, Anid, wanted to share a love story with you. They failed a couple of times in trying to tell it, undone once by equipment and once by emotion. It's about the baby they named Aria Hope, her first and middle name, an operatic song about the possibilities believing can bring. She was with us for 6 days. Doctors recommended not bringing Aria into the world, but Anid and Roy insisted on knowing her. When they made this decision, they knew only a portion of what they were choosing, that Aria Hope's life would be very difficult, and so too would be theirs, and that there was no way of knowing if those difficulties would be measured in minutes or years. Anid and Roy chose living. They chose loving. What a precious, precious thing to hold in your hands and in your heart, even if it can only be for 6 days. Know that your parents wanted your life to always be a song about hope, Aria, so that your memory could be music still heard after you were gone. When we do our Moss Miami party at Wynwood Marketplace Saturday, Roy and Anid will be the ones selling and supporting the art. The charity they've chosen for proceeds is the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital. What you're about to hear is the reason why. Roy, do you want to explain to people why it is that we're here today?
Yes. As you guys may remember, back during Freedom, when we officially launched Levitard and Friends Network, I announced that my wife and I, Anid, who's in the studio right now, were about to have our second child. And it was a glorious day, career-wise and personally. It was great. But soon thereafter, we went to a checkup on how the fetus was doing. And we were told the fetus had developed what was called trisomy 18, which we'll explore a little bit more in a little bit. So that brought up a myriad of issues. And that led to a decision whether we carry the term or not. And we were given a week to decide, because the law was different in Florida back then. So we were given a week to decide, and we decided to carry the term.
Everything that we're talking about here is not something that we have discussed in depth, and I imagine we are here today because you wish to discuss portions of this, but you've tried to do it yourself, Roy told me, Anid, and it was hard to get through when it was just you and him talking, but you think it's important to talk about it, yes?
Yeah. So the good thing about the whole experience was that we were able to hold our daughter in our arms. We gave her the name Aria Hope. So we were able to hold Aria, but she went on and She passed away after 6 days being with us. And initially when we decided to kind of think through the experience and process, you know, we wanted to make sure that we recorded the experience in some way, and literally by recording audio of the experience, just trying to help us with keeping that memory and just making it sort of like a time capsule. But that was really early days, like basically within the month that she had passed away. So for us, it was really, really challenging. It helped with the healing process, honestly. It helped with grieving. I think talking it through just allows people in general to get all of the thoughts out, and so that it doesn't remain as a trauma that is debilitating. Yeah, so we recorded twice, actually. Once we recorded, I don't know what happened. The second time, I don't know what happened. So I'm hoping the third time is the charm, honestly. Well, and when I say I don't know what happened, like literally the audio got lost.
Like equipment issue. Yes.
Yeah.
That was not a good day, losing that audio, because it was kind of a guide to what we hoped to do a little bit later. Unfortunately, we had to start from scratch on that. But we figured that we needed the help, and I trust Dan to guide us through this, and hopefully we can at least help some people by sharing our experience.
For those who do not know, Anid, you decided to have the baby even though the doctors told you that perhaps you should not, correct?
Correct. When I found out, basically I was at work, you know, we had gone through amniocentesis. What is it called?
I don't think it's a word many people are going to know. You're okay not knowing what the word is.
I went through the ringer. Let's say that. And basically, you know, that's to get the diagnostic. So going through that, I get the phone call while I'm at work saying, okay, here's the deal. It's trisomy 18. And because of how the laws work here in the state of Florida, and because of how late we found out about this, you basically have a week, less than a week, to decide on whether you're going to proceed with the pregnancy. Needless to say, that made the whole world crash down on my shoulders. I felt like I was out of control in that moment. But ultimately, the decision as far as proceeding or not, you know, it wasn't based upon any politics. It wasn't based upon religion. You know, it was really about what we could do for Arya. It wasn't about making a statement. It wasn't about proving anyone right or wrong. It was about our love for Arya. And, you know, in talking with family and friends, it became increasingly clear that we should proceed. And I like to think back on something one of the doctors told me, which is every decision that we make is out of love for our daughter. There's no wrong decision that we could have made. That was just a weight lifted off my shoulders, because I wanted to fight with Arya. I wanted her to continue on. I saw that she was fighting, and I wanted to be along with her through that fight. It was a mystery every single step of the way as to what would evolve, as to what would happen. But ultimately, I knew that, hey, if she's in it, I'm in it too. So with that, you know, obviously we got plunged into a level of intensity that was extreme, I would say. Every decision that we made was intense because it was life or death. But we realized that we could make it through. We can make it through, and we could do it. We had what it took to be the right parents for Arya, to be the right kind of people that she needed to support her. And that's where our minds were trained. when we were searching for names, it took us a while. First, for whatever reason, a light bulb hit my mind. And this was before we even found out about the diagnosis or anything being wrong. I called up Roy and I say, hey, how about Hope? And he's just like, done. Perfect. I was like, great. So we chose Hope as the middle name.
That passes for excitement for Roy.
Yeah. It was very...
Being that decisive that quickly, done. That's...
very enthused.
That means the name was correct.
Yeah. It was very like, okay, great. I knew I had the right name. Middle name is Hope. I guess our aspiration for our children has been to have these kind of, these God names, these enduring names, these characteristic names. So with Claire, her middle name is Joy. And so we wanted to kind of go along that trend. And so we brought in Hope with Aria. And her name became the very thing that we were holding on throughout the entire journey. Like, she became a rock for us. She became hope for us through the sleepless nights, through the early morning prayers, through the crying sessions. There was still hope. And I am truly thankful for that. I think her life, as short as it was truly remarkable because she touched so many people. Because we were able to bring in our community. Everybody came around us and they supported us in their way. And everything that everyone did, from the smallest word to the most extravagant expression of support, was exactly what we needed when we needed it.
Roy, can you take us through the weight of that decision-making process when doctors are telling you that Aria is not someone that you should be introduced to? Aria is not someone who should be brought into the world, I guess, to make it easier for you guys.
I mean, to be told that by a doctor, like, there's a possibility that she might not make it. And then when she does make it, she's not going to be here very long. Really, my thoughts were, okay, how are we going to make sure that she doesn't suffer? And if we do carry the term, especially, how do we make sure that she doesn't suffer? And that decision, I didn't want to place it all on Anid's shoulders, but I mean, that's not my body. And she is the mother of this child. So I gave her what I thought should happen, and we went on from there. So that decision was the hardest that I've ever had to make, certainly. And keep in mind, this is actually our fourth pregnancy. First pregnancy was Claire, second was undeveloped, and our third was a miscarriage. So going into this fourth one, like, now we have experience here, like, okay, we have this news now. What are we going to do? Like, we have to make this decision. So we decided, carry the term. Let's see what happens. And she came out, and she came out fighting. And for the rest of my life, I will go to my grave not regretting that decision to have her come out into this world. Because we got to meet her. We got to see her fight. And I can tell you that she's the most courageous person that I've ever met.
Were you capable of keeping her from suffering?
So there was a team that came around us, which was amazing. With the hospital, they threw every support vehicle or mechanism that they knew how our way. And through the palliative support team, they really talked us through, okay, this is how this experience will go. We don't expect necessarily the worst outcome, or we're not wishing for the worst outcome, to say, but we are going to prepare for it. So through the way they gave us different medications to help her along, but you know, first 2 days, I would say, with Aria were like a dream in terms of being perfect without any really bad issues. I would say around the third day, that's when she started having episodes of apnea where she just wasn't breathing right. And so from there, we decided, okay, we're going to give her some medications that would help her along the way. And it was, you know, regimented, scheduled. I was able to give her breast milk. I was able to hold her and comfort her throughout the time. I would say, I mean, we were able to stay in our room. You know, we weren't separated from her at all. So we were always by her side. And this is during COVID when hospitals were basically locked down. I think at the time that we actually gave birth to Aria, you know, it was like a sliver of time where it was a window where hospitals actually allowed the fathers to come in and actually allowed people to come in and visit. I mean, the visits were very scheduled. Like they were 30-minute visits and only by appointment and only one person at a time. But we were able to comfort her through our presence, through the support of the doctors in the hospital. So I think she really had a good experience for what it was worth. And she was able to, you know, leave this world in peace, ultimately. The great part was that Clara was able to meet her little sister. While it's a source of anger for me, you know, kind of that regret of not being able to have a sibling with Claire, it was still a good time that we were able to have with Claire and share the moment with Claire. It wasn't ideal, but the fact that she was able to come to the hospital, even with all of the lockdown and all of the measures that the hospital took to, you know, prevent the spread of COVID. It was good that we were able to have that moment as a family together.
On December 10th at Moss, you guys will be selling art as you have at all the Moss events. It's a spiritual party meant to celebrate Miami. You guys have been at the center of it since the start. Why, Roy, have you chosen the Joe DiMaggio's Children's Hospital as the charitable arm for the portion of the proceeds that evening? And what do you want people to know about Ari as it ties into remembering her?
Well, it was the place she was born, and they did such a fantastic job of taking care of her. And I wouldn't say it's a reward. I just would say it's to help situations like what we went through. Like if we can help them with a donation through the event, I think it'll be special. I think it'll provide more equipment. It'll provide therapists, you know, talk to the parents who might have to go through this situation, you know. So
you felt less alone, correct, because of the care that the people there, strangers, were applying to a most intimate difficulty and subsequently grief, right?
Yes.
Like they have great touch.
Yes.
And the care you got made you feel less alone.
Certainly. They held our hand through the process. Once we found out, you know, the diagnosis, we got a call right away to, you know, get on a conference call, basically with the care team. And this included, you know, the palliative care therapist, the specialist that would help our family get through this psychologically. It included, you know, the chaplain. It included the actual doctor that would be helping us, offering up the medications for Aria.
To be clear, you guys chose to risk, in the name of Aria Hope, the greatest pain a human being can know. You guys chose the risk possibility of that while doctors telling you, don't choose this. And you need your hand held through something like that.
Yeah, for sure. It was a risk. It was scary. I think, like I mentioned before, it would have been a mystery no matter what we chose. We weren't sure what outcome we would behold. But because of the fact that we had such a great team around us, who are a little bit braver to go into, you know, the mystery of it all. So we had that support behind us. And going through it, I realized there are so many families that need the same support. And I know that even through the pandemic, the hospital was stretched. They could have used more. You know, they could have helped us even more. And I know they wanted to. So every little bit, as far as donation to the hospital, I know will go a long way because I've experienced it myself. And I appreciate every source of help that they gave.
Is there anything else that you guys think the audience needs to know, should know about ARIA or about the need to share this experience publicly? The need to share this experience so that you're not alone with it and so that others won't be alone with it.
If you are going through this situation, just know that it's not your fault. Like, and don't go into it thinking that it is. Don't go into the future thinking that this might happen again. It just happens. And the way you process the grief, the way you deal with it, it's okay to ask for help. I mean, you've known me damn near 20 years. I mean, you could probably count on one hand how many times I've probably asked for help. This one, you could put on that one hand. We absolutely needed the guidance to get through this. So it's okay to ask for help. Everybody's process of dealing with grief is different.
Why is there blame?
I guess it would be like a body issue. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's her. You don't want to think about that, you know? And just placing blame on the untimely death of your child on yourself, that's soul crushing. And it really makes you question your belief system and the way the world works. But like I said, if you go to people, if you have your support group, they can get you through it. And I think that really helped us tremendously for her homegoing. Our entire staff attended. And I can't possibly begin to tell you how important that was for me. It told me that my extended family was there and they had my back. So, having that support group is extremely important.
I mean, one thing I will say is for us, ARIA became not only, you know, our child, but she became a symbol for us. We actually, on her service, her homegoing service, we released butterflies. And for us, that was a symbol of transformation. And I think the message there was that hope never actually dies. It just transforms and it becomes something new. So for people out there who are holding to hope, continue holding to it. And it will become something new.
Did you do blame the way that Roy did? Because blame for me is a little bit hard to understand in this circumstance. Yes, you made the choice to bring Ari into the world, a choice you do not regret, understanding that there's the risk always with any of us that life can end, but doctors telling you that it's probable. You blame yourself for that? Because logically, outside of the emotion, I would of course tell you, how could you possibly blame yourself for that?
I think you start looking back. Yes, you get all of the statistics from the doctors and you get their reasoning saying it's a fluke or it's something that happens randomly in nature. But then you start thinking back, okay, what did I actually do? Or what happened during this time? You know, you start trying to put things together. But ultimately, you realize, or at least I did, like, there is nothing that I could have done. And even if, let's say, it wasn't something that I took on as a blame for myself. I didn't take it on as a blame for myself. I just saw it as an opportunity, an opportunity to go this route with her.
Well, it's also an opportunity to love intensely for the time that you have her, right? You would not choose anything other than to love as much as you can. I mean, you're pointing out we didn't leave her side.
We didn't leave her side. We knew that we wanted to serve her. And when I say serve, I mean like do everything that we could to help her thrive in this world for the time that she was with us. You know, I imagined myself, you know, helping her get dressed, you know, like all the things that we do so easily, those of us who are capable and that we don't even think about, you know, my mind started going towards, okay, the day to day of, okay, this is going to be a real effort on our part and I am here to take it on. And to take that feeling away, I wouldn't trade that. I wouldn't trade knowing that I was willing to give it all for someone else. You know, it would have taken huge sacrifice of our known life. You know, we didn't know if we were going to even go back to work. You know, like it would have been that
for people deep. To understand the depth of the choice you made, because Roy gave it a clinical name. But the choice that you guys made was not just to bring Aria to life, but was to take care of her for however long she was here. Yeah. So the choice that you guys were making, you didn't know if this would be years of a life that would come with disabilities and difficulties, but you were choosing years of hope.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You were choosing to give your known life to hope and taking care of Aria. The choice you made was for years. It was not for 6 days.
Correct. And we were willing to make that choice. We were happy to make it. And you don't know that you're happy to make it until you're put in that situation. Like, obviously, if you're not in the situation outside of it, you would say, oh my goodness, keep that away from me. You know, everybody would say that. And understandably. But when you're in it, that's why I give a big standing ovation to every single parent who is living with a child with disabilities. You are heroes. You deserve a bigger platform for what you do every single day in the life of these children. It's worth it. There's no getting around it. It is worth the sacrifice because there's a real love there. There's a real beauty there. There's nothing like it. I think that's just the true love of God that's being expressed through your everyday sacrifice from that simple action, whether it's changing the clothes, brushing the teeth, whatever it is, those simple actions that so much of us able-bodied individuals take for granted. The fact that we are able, and I say we, I include myself because I had that moment, as parents of disabled children, to have time slow down and everything that we do to care for this child is just highlighted in love. I think it's a miracle. That was the miracle. The miracle of Aria, the hope of Aria, was the fact that we were able to see ourselves transform, become new beings, become the butterfly. You know, we were transformed. She transformed. She transformed us. That's why, you know, that symbol of butterfly for us is so strong. And so, you know, it's an encouragement for all parents out there, but not just parents, anyone who's going through anything that is a struggle, realize that all your efforts towards making it through is not in vain and that you will get through it.
Are you proud of yourself? Are you allowed to be proud of yourself anywhere inside of the grief for the selflessness of that kind of love, the decision that you made instead of where blame would reside, the idea that you would choose love so thoroughly that you'd be willing to alter the way your known life is to take on all the sacrifices that love would have brought you. I hope somewhere within that you can feel pride of the selflessness of giving your life over to, you were ready to give your life over to her.
Yes. I would say yes, but also, and it's hard to express, it's almost like you're beyond yourself. You don't even think about pride for yourself. It's something that is beyond you. So I don't even count it as some like a point for myself or for a point for Roy. I do say, you know, between Roy and I that, you know, and our family, that because we've gone through this, that we can make it through anything and we've been equipped to make it through anything. But in thinking about, okay, making that choice, I don't count it as something as a point per se, because it's even bigger and it's hard to express. It's hard to express. You have to, you know, even talking through it, you're going back to that moment. And even then, I can't capture fully within words how selfless it actually is. And that carries through. It carries through. The selflessness carries through.
I am proud that Anita and I were able to produce something that brave, because, man, she really did fight. She really did give it her all for those 6 days. And I couldn't be more proud of her, of Aria, and I couldn't be more proud of us for how we handled it.
Well, thank you for sharing the story. I'm sorry wherever it is that it was uncomfortable. It's not something that we have, I don't know how much talking out loud you have done about this stuff, but I know that Roy wanted to do this, at least in part, for others who are enduring whatever it is the grief might feel like for them, so that they would know that it's not theirs alone. So if there's anything else you guys would like the audience to know, I will tell the audience again that anybody who buys the art that you guys are selling, we've got a team of artists. It's the spirit of Moss. It's what it is that we're trying to do, that the Joe DiMaggio's Children's Hospital is your charity of choice.
We also have auction items. I was able to have the Panthers bring us some signed stuff and a ticket package, and we have some other teams sending some stuff as well. So a portion of the auction will also go to the Joe DiMaggio's Children's Hospital. So that's a good thing.
One more thing. I just want to acknowledge, you know, I know we're in the holiday season. There have been so much loss because of the pandemic. And as people go through the holidays, reflecting upon their loved ones, just know that you're not alone. I certainly understand what it's like. And it is okay to take a moment to step back and reflect and grieve the way that you need to.
Thank you, Anita. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If Mom's Gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get Mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.